Blog Talk Radio.
Lord have mercy.
Lord have mercy.
Christ have mercy. Mother of God, Saint Michael, holy angels of God, Saint John the Baptist, Saint Joseph, Saint Peter and Saint
I'm
You're listening to the Catholic Defender Radio Network.
And good morning. Welcome to Deeper Truth, and I am Donald Hartley, known as the Catholic Defender, and today is day 9, our novena for the poor souls in purgatory. So let us begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. And Jesus said to Faustina, today bring to me the souls who are detained in purgatory and immerse them in the abyss of my mercy. Let the torrents of my blood cool down their scorching flames. All these souls are greatly loved by me. They are making retribution to my justice. It is in your power to bring them relief. Draw all the indulgences from the treasury of my church and offer them on their behalf. Oh, if you only knew the torments they suffer, you would continually offer for them the alms of the Spirit and pay off their debt to my justice. Jesus to Saint Faustina, in the diary of Saint Faustina, 1226. My God, I'm heartily sorry for having offended you, and I detest all my sins because of your just punishments, but most of all because you are all good and deserving of all my love, and I firmly resolve with the help of your grace to sin no more and to avoid the near occasion of sin. And that is what is called the act of contrition. And we should say that, well, it's obvious when you go to confession, yes, definitely. But also, it's good to say every day. In the spiritual communion, my Jesus, I believe that you are present in the most holy sacrament. I love you above all things, and I desire to receive you into my soul. Since I cannot at this moment receive you sacramentally, come at least spiritually into my heart. I embrace you as if you were already there and unite myself wholly to you. Never permit me to be separated from you. Amen. And dear Lord, we trust in your infinite goodness. We praise your justice and implore your mercy upon all the holy souls who are suffering in purgatory as they await their eternal heavenly rest with you. Every person is precious to you, and you long to bring each of us to heaven with you. But many people leave this world without any friends or family members to pray for them, pray for their souls. These poor souls must wait on your mercy and our prayers as they suffer in purgatory. We ask you to bring all the holy souls in purgatory into eternal heavenly rest with you, especially the souls who have no one to pray for them. Help us grow in virtue and charity out of love for you. Help us to become closer to you and stronger in the desire to imitate you each day. And so I especially pray, ask in this novena for my healing and for my wife Gigi's healing, and for all the prodigals, family members, and people who have left the church, that they will come back. I am praying for the prodigals, that they will come home. Lord, you would leave the 99 to go after the one who has gone astray. And St. James, he says that if someone has gone astray from the truth and then another brings them back, know that you have saved a soul from death and canceled a multitude of sin. So, Lord, we inspire us to help you, to work with you, to bring them home by our example and our word and deed, based from the gospel, your holy church. And so join us in praying the novena for the holy souls in purgatory. And we also definitely want to pray for America. she desperately needs help. Our Catholic faith teaches us that the souls of the faithful departed must be entirely purified before they enter into eternal rest in heaven. We know that the souls of most people who have died in friendship with God must be purified in purgatory. The holy souls in purgatory are in great need of our prayers. Scripture and tradition tell us that the holy souls in purgatory need our prayers, and that it is a holy work to pray for the souls of the dead who are suffering in purgatory. The Church views the act of praying for the souls in purgatory with such importance that she has included this work in the seventh spiritual work of mercy, praying for the living and the dead. And let's offer our prayers for the souls of those who are awaiting their eternal heavenly rest through this novena for the holy souls in purgatory. You can pray the novena for the holy souls in purgatory for a deceased relative or friend of yours, or you can use this novena to pray for the soul of a deceased person whom one of your loved ones is grieving. You can also use this novena to pray for a deceased group of people, such as victims of a natural disaster or some other calamity. Or you can use it to pray for all people who have died from a specific ailment. Additionally, you can use this novena to prepare for All Souls Day when we pray for the holy souls in purgatory in a particular way, which we just very long ago on the 2nd of November. And today is the 4th of November, so it was a blessed day. So, Eternal Father, I offer you the most precious blood of your divine Son, Jesus, in union with the masses said throughout the world today, for all the holy souls in purgatory, for sinners everywhere, for sinners in the universal church, those in my own home and within my family, amen. Saint Michael, the archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, by the divine power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who roam throughout the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. And the prayer to our suffering Savior for the souls in purgatory. O most sweet Jesus, through the bloody sweat which you did suffer in the Garden of Gethsemane, have mercy on these blessed souls. Have mercy on them, O Lord. O most sweet Jesus, through the pains which you did suffer during your most cruel scourging, have mercy on them. Have mercy on them, O Lord. O most sweet Jesus, through the pains which you did suffer in your most painful crowning with thorns, have mercy on them. Have mercy on them, O Lord. O most sweet Jesus, through the pains which you did suffer in carrying your cross to Calvary, have mercy on them. Have mercy on them, O Lord. O most sweet Jesus, through the pains which you did suffer during your most cruel crucifixion, have mercy on them. Have mercy on them, O Lord. O most sweet Jesus, through the pains which you did suffer in your most bitter agony on the cross, have mercy on them. Have mercy on them, O Lord. O most sweet Jesus, through the immense pain which you did suffer in breathing forth your blessed soul, have mercy on them. Have mercy on them, O Lord. And blessed souls, I have prayed for you. I entreat you who are so dear to God and who are secure of never losing him, to pray for me, a miserable sinner, who is in danger of being damned and of losing God forever. Amen. The Holy Father, Pope Francis, recently urged the faithful that today, in this time of pandemic, it is necessary to hold the rosary in our hands, praying for us, for our loved ones, and for all people. The rosary, as St. Dominic witnessed during his mission to the Albigensians, is also a powerful prayer for increasing the receptivity of souls to Orthodox preaching. The benefits of what Pope St. John Paul II called an exquisitely contemplative prayer were enumerated in a special way by a 15th century Dominican friar. According to the tradition, Alain de Robé received the following 15 promises to those who pray the rosary devoutly from the Blessed Virgin Mary herself through a private revelation. We hope that they encourage you in meditating on the mysteries of Christ by praying the Holy Rosary of the Blessed Virgin Mary. To those who faithfully serve me by the recitation of the rosary shall receive signal graces. I promise my special protection and the greatest graces to all those who shall recite the rosary. The rosary shall be a powerful armor against hell. It will destroy vice, decrease sin, and defeat heresies. The recitation of the rosary will cause virtue and good works to flourish. It will obtain for souls the abundant mercy of God. It will withdraw the hearts of men from the love of the world and its vanities, and will lift them to the desire of eternal things. Oh, that souls would sanctify themselves by this means. The soul which recommends itself to me by the recitation of the rosary shall not perish. Those who recite my rosary devoutly, applying themselves to the consideration of its sacred mysteries, shall never be conquered by misfortune. In his justice, God will not chastise them, nor shall they perish by an unprovided death, i.e., be unprepared for heaven. Sinners shall convert. The just shall persevere in grace and become worthy of eternal life. Those who have a true devotion to the rosary shall not die without the sacraments of the church. Those who faithfully recite the rosary shall have during their life and at their death the light of God and the plenitude of his graces. At the moment of death, they shall participate in the merits of the saints in paradise. I shall deliver from purgatory those who have been devoted to the rosary. The faithful children of the rosary shall merit a high degree of glory in heaven. By the recitation of the rosary, you shall obtain all that you ask of me. Those who propagate the Holy Rosary shall be aided by me in their necessities. I have obtained from my divine Son that all the advocates of the Rosary shall have for intercessors the entire celestial during their life and at the hour of their death. All who recite the Rosary are my beloved children and the brothers and sisters of my only Son, Jesus Christ. Devotion for my Rosary is a great sign of predestination. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Catholic artist, singer Donna Corey Gibson, sings 1,000 Souls, taken from the Prayer of St. Gertrude. Donna Corey Gibson.
Purgatory.
You're listening to the Catholic Defender Radio Network.
That's Catholic singer Donna Corey Gibson, 1,000 Souls. And this is day 9, our novena for the Holy Souls in Purgatory. And also, the Church remembers St. Charles Borromeo. St. Charles Borromeo was a leading figure during the Counter-Reformation period of the Church. In the wake of the Protestant revolt, which led to the 40,000-plus non-Catholic churches today, Catholic apologists like St. Charles Borromeo, St. Ignatius of Loyola, and St. Philip Neri, and many others, held the line, bringing back many to the Catholic faith through evangelism. For St. Charles, learning was very important to reach the masses. His call for evangelization is a cry coming straight from the gospel. St. Charles Borromeo wished, he said, "If we wish to make any progress in the service of God, we must begin every day of our life with new eagerness. We must keep ourselves in the presence of God as much as possible and have no other view or end in all our actions but the divine honor." Evangelization is the call of all Christians who follow Christ in their daily walk. This is central to our call to follow Christ. This is done primarily in how we live out our lives. Through our passion to follow Christ, we must live our lives accordingly. And we are known through three basic things. One, we are known by what we say. Our words have impact. Two, we are known by what we do. Does our actions speak our words? Number three, we are known by the things we love. What is our passion? If following Christ is our passion, then our lives will reflect what we say and do. And St. Charles Borromeo, he said, "Be sure that you first preach by the way you live. If you do not, people will notice that what you say, that you say one thing but live otherwise, and your words will bring only cynical laughter and a derisive shake of the head." And November 4th is the memorial of St. Charles Borromeo, who was bishop, 1538 to 1584, was his life. St. Peter writes, "Now who is going to harm you if you are enthusiastic for what is good? But even if you should suffer because of righteousness, blessed are you. Do not be afraid or terrified with fear of them, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. Always be ready to give an explanation to anyone who asks you for a reason for your hope, but do it with gentleness and reverence, keeping your conscience clear, so that when you are maligned, those who defame your good conduct in Christ may themselves be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that be the will of God, than for doing evil." 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 13 to 17. And my mother converted to the Catholic faith through the example of a co-worker when I was very young. Mom was raised in an anti-Catholic household, and she was raised with great bias against Catholics. She thought Catholics was like a foreign country. Through the example of a Catholic friend who worked with her, my mother became open to investigate the Catholic faith. This would ultimately lead to my being Catholic? In thinking about this, in researching the virtue of our holy faith, I consider the Catholic Catechism of the Catholic Church, 1697. The catechism has to reveal in all clarity the joy and the demands of the way of Christ. Catechesis for the newness of life in him should be a catechesis of the Holy Spirit, the interior master of life according to Christ, a gentle guest, a friend who inspires, guides, corrects, and strengthens this life, a catechesis of grace, for it is by grace that we are saved. And again, it is by grace that our works can bear fruit for eternal life. A catechesis of the Beatitudes, for the way of Christ is summed up in the Beatitudes. The only path that leads to the eternal Beatitude, for which the human heart longs. A catechesis of sin and forgiveness. For unless man acknowledges that he is a sinner, he cannot know the truth about himself, which is a condition for acting justly, and without the offer of forgiveness, he would not be able to bear the truth. A catechesis of the human virtues, which causes one to grasp the beauty and attention of being dispositions towards goodness. A catechesis of the Christian virtues of faith, hope, and charity, generously inspired by the example of the saints. A catechesis of the twofold commandment of charity set forth in the Decalogue. A catechesis, for it is through the manifold exchanges of spiritual goods in the communion of saints that Christian life can grow, develop, and be communicated. In reading this, I became thankful for the witness my mother received by the example of a faithful Catholic. That is the heart of evangelization. We must have a heart for God to be his representative in the trenches, at home, at the workplace, on the ball field. Wherever we find ourselves, our example is central to our faith. Romans chapter 6, verse 4 states, "We were indeed buried with him through baptism and to death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might live in newness of life." Our new life is not to be buried in the backyard, but it is to be given away, that others might find this new life through your witness. Galatians chapter 5, 22-23 states, "In contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." When someone is living such a way of life, people are drawn by the authentic way of faith. There is a wholesomeness, there is a virtue that inspires people to reach towards. St. Charles Borromeo said, "If a tiny spark of God's love already burns within you, do not expose it to the wind, for it may get blown out. Stay quiet with God. Do not spend your time in useless chatter. Do not give yourself to others so completely that you have nothing left for yourself." From the Catholic Catechism of the Catholic Church, 25, it states, "The whole concern of doctrine and its teaching must be directed to the love that never ends. Whether something is proposed for belief, for hope, or for action, the love of our Lord must always be made accessible, so that anyone can see that all the works of perfect Christian virtue spring from love and have no other objective than to arrive at love. Through our love for the truth, others will see the love within you. I love Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, which states, "Let us not grow tired of doing good, for in due time we shall reap our harvest if we do not give up. So then, while we have the opportunity, let us do good to all, but especially to those who belong to the family of the faith." The Catholic faith is the family of faith that St. Paul is addressing here. This is a great example of Scripture that calls us to do good works for the glory of God. This is the heart of evangelization. Consider Psalms 1, verses 1 through 3. "Happy those who do not follow the counsel of the wicked, nor go the way of sinners, nor sit in the company of scoffers. Rather, the law of the Lord is their joy. God's law they study day and night. They are like a tree planted near streams of water that yields its fruit in season. Its leaves never wither. Whatever they do prospers." The fruit is speaking of good works that help others, that bring others to the Lord. Remember, we are known for the things we love. Let us not sit in the company of those who do evil, who love evil. Evil company destroys good morals. That destroys your witness. The cardinal virtues are lasting virtues if we center ourselves on the teaching of Christ. The Catholic Catechism of the Catholic Church, 1805, states, "Four virtues play a pivotal role and accordingly are called cardinal. All the others are grouped around them. They are prudence, justice, fortitude, and temperance. If anyone loves righteousness, wisdom, labors are virtues. For she teaches temperance and prudence, justice and courage." Wisdom, 8 verse 7. These virtues are praised under other names in many passages of Scripture. The cardinal virtues are important to evangelization because they keep us centered to always doing the right thing, because it is the right thing to do. We need to train ourselves to strengthen ourselves. It is a discipline we place on ourselves to ensure that everyone is given respect, compassion, endurance, with dedication and commitment. In my experience, the light bulb might turn on in an instant, or the light bulb might take a long time. Some people seem to take forever, a work in progress. The Catholic Catechism of the Catholic Church speaks a lot on the theological virtues, stating, 1822 states, "Charity is the theological virtue by which we love God above all things, for his own sake, and our neighbor as ourselves for the love of God." 1842 states, "By faith we believe in God and believe all that he has revealed to us and that Holy Church proposes for our belief." 1843 states, "By hope we desire and with steadfast trust await from God eternal life and the graces to merit it." Faith, hope, and love are the three theological virtues that if we apply this in our life, you will be a great witness for the faith. This requires continued growth, prayer, and commitment. And St. Paul addresses this best. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 states, "Though I command languages both human and angelic, If I speak without love, I am no more than a gong booming or a cymbal clashing. And though I have the power of prophecy to penetrate all mysteries and knowledge, and though I have all the faith necessary to move mountains, if I am without love, I am nothing. Though I should give away to the poor all that I possess, and even give up my body to be burned, if I am without love, it will do me no good, whatever. Love is always patient and kind. Love is never jealous. Love is not boastful or conceited. It is never rude and never seeks its own advantage. It does not take offense or store up grievances. Love does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but finds its joy in the truth. It is always ready to make allowances, to trust, to hope, and to endure whatever comes. Love never comes to an end. But if there are prophecies, they will be done away with. If tongues, they will fall silent. And if knowledge, it will be done away with. For we know only imperfectly, and we prophesy imperfectly. But once perfection comes, all imperfect things will be done away with. When I was a child, I used to talk like a child, and see things as a child does, and think like a child. But now that I have become an adult, I have finished with all childish ways. Now we see only reflections in a mirror, mere riddles. But then we shall be seeing face to face. Now I can know only imperfectly, but then I shall know just as fully as I am myself known. As it is, these remain, faith, hope, and love. The three of them, and the grace of them, is love. In 1576, St. Charles Borromeo showed great courage helping the starving people of Milan, using his own assets, feeding 70,000 per day. And in 1583, St. Charles traveled to Switzerland to feed those who were spiritually hungry, who were under the heavy threat of terrible heresies, Protestantism, witchcraft, and sorcery. Like St. John Borromeo, let us put on the whole armor of God in our lives so that we might be able to evangelize to others using the virtues given us by the grace of God. And St. Charles Borromeo's call for evangelization. And let us take that up. Let us pick up our cross and follow Christ as St. Charles did, as the Catholic Church points the way to.
You're listening to the Catholic Defender Radio Network.
And pray for the poor, pray the rosary in praying for the poor souls of purgatory. And so to come to our Lord's mercy. And here's Catholic artist, award-winning Donna Lee. Come to my mercy.
Come to my mercy, where the blood and water flow. I won't abandon you. Through suffering you'll grow, and you'll see my grace. come pouring down. Come to my mercy. Come to my mercy. Where the river of life flows from this fountain. Comes grace for every soul, and you'll see my love come shining through. Come to my mercy. Come to my mercy. Where the rays of love shine through all the darkness, I will always be with you. I am waiting here with open arms. Come to my mercy. I am waiting here with open arms. Come to my mercy.
And come to his mercy. And that's why I call the confessional the mercy seat of God. The mercy seat of God, because it's there. You receive a judgment. You receive a judgment of mercy. And this mercy Jesus will honor when you stand before him to face his justice. He will honor that mercy given to you in the confessional. Now is the day. Now is the time, as St. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 1-3. Now is the day. Now is the time of salvation. And we have Elvis, who sings about the rosary.
Oh, Blessed Mother, we pray to Thee. Thanks for the miracle of Your rosary. Only You can hold back Your Holy Son's hand long enough for the whole world to understand. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and the hour of our death, and thank once again for the miracle of Your rosary.
And say, this ends today's devotion, the novena for the poor souls in purgatory, day 9. And we end in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And good day.